Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole's Health Radio. It's radio that's good for you.
Have you ever felt that heartburn? Well, 60% of the adult population will experience some type of gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD, within the next year. And you know what? You don't always feel it. That heartburn you feel, that's not always what means that you have GERD, and you might not even know that you have it. My guest today is Dr. Mark Knorr. He's a gastroenterologist and a therapeutic endoscopist who specializes in the advanced treatment of digestive diseases. Welcome to the show, Dr. Knorr. So tell us a little bit about GERD, and is it genetic? Is it hereditary? Does it run in families, or is it environmental?
Well, first I'll say that it likely does not run in families, and it's likely not genetic, but it's really the result of habits. Although there are some people who may be born with a disadvantage, let's say lower esophageal sphincter, but what the disease actually is that over time there is a chronic degeneration of the lower esophageal sphincter, which is the guardian between the stomach and the esophagus. And so when that guardian begins to fail and it begins to get weak, the stomach's normal pressure that it uses to push food out into the intestine is able to overcome the pressure of the sphincter, and then you have stomach contents refluxing up into the esophagus and as well up into your lungs and even up into your nasal passages and throat.
Wow. My baby had reflux when she was just, only 3 months old. So she had to have a tiny little endoscopy when she was little. Tell us about silent reflux, because so many adults don't even really know that they've got this. So are there any symptoms? How do you know?
Well, the typical reflux symptoms, and let's divide reflux into two kind of camps. One is esophageal-type symptoms, or esophageal reflux, and the other is what we call LPR, or let's call it respiratory reflux. So the esophageal reflux symptoms typically are going to be burning, chest pain, some difficulty swallowing, and you'll usually know if you have that. Now, there is a small percentage of people who don't know they have it, and in fact may have quite severe disease, and sometimes this is what we see in terms of people presenting. A very small percentage will present with esophageal cancer and never know they had a problem. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, there is the laryngeal reflux, and in those patients, that's what's usually referred to as silent reflux, because it doesn't have the esophageal symptoms of chest discomfort or burning. But instead, you may have chronic cough, a lot of mucus production, some shortness of breath, vocal fatigue is very common, and this type of reflux can even be the cause of sleep apnea. It can be the cause of asthma or bronchitis, especially occurring later in life, as opposed to as an early childhood disease. So there are many, many different manifestations. But the silent one is usually the laryngeal reflux.
Well, and we've all heard about Barrett's esophagus. And do you feel, because now, Dr. Knorr, a colonoscopy is included in the Affordable Care Act as a well thing, a preventive care, do you think endoscopy should be the same?
You know, that's a really controversial question. First, I have to say that we're scared to death of Barrett's esophagus, and the reality is that in most patients, in the majority of the population, there's really no increased risk factor for the majority of people who may have Barrett's. It's pretty much the same as the normal population. But we're concerned about people with uncontrolled reflux, in which case their Barrett's may become more severe. So should you have a standard screening exam because you've got reflux disease? I believe the answer to that is yes, and we can do transnasal endoscopy now, which doesn't require sedation, and get a very good look just as a basic screen. It's very inexpensive. It doesn't require sedation. So I think we'll be moving towards that, but that has not become the standard yet.
It's really uncomfortable. I had a little bit of a transnasal endoscopy, and I found it, I would rather be sedated personally,
yeah.
But I'm somebody who speaks all the time. And so, you know, just checking me out for these kinds of things anyway. Now, when we talk about GERD and esophageal reflux, there is a million little purple pills and things on the market. And then our all natural medicine practitioners that come on so many of our shows, Dr. Knorr, say, well, you need that acid in your stomach because that digests your food. And antacid is a, you know, kind of a dichotomy and not something we're supposed to actually have. Clear it up for us. Do we want to reduce that acid? Is that causing the reflux? Or do we want vinegar? Do those kinds of, what do we want to do?
Very good question. Excuse me. So basically, acid. Let's talk about acid in the stomach for just a second or two. It really doesn't do much to digest your food. It's probably more of a sterilizant by destroying bacteria and viruses and other abnormal organisms that make it into the stomach and not letting them get into the intestinal tract. Do we need it? We always need small amounts of acid, although there are people who have had their stomachs removed and they survive quite nicely without any acid whatsoever. But for esophageal reflux, acid is the culprit. And reducing that by taking a medication for a short period of time to let the tissue heal back up so you don't need it anymore, that's a very good way to go. And it doesn't have to be something like a PPI. It can be an H2 blocker. And they work just as well as some antacids. However, if you find that you're having to take these medications long-term just to control your symptoms, that really means that your sphincter has degenerated sufficiently to the point where we really need to think about sphincter-targeted therapy, where we can go in and actually, we have various endoscopic tools to go and actually repair that sphincter and make it grow back again so you'll be able to continue on without medication.
Wow, cool. That's really cool. What do you believe in some of the all-natural pH-regulating things, baking soda, vinegar? I mean, there's a lot of them that people talk about.
Sure. So if you have a very strong amount of acid and you take a more dilute form of acid, say, let's say, apple cider vinegar, that can be very helpful. Or let's say you don't have enough acid and you take apple cider vinegar, which gives you some acid, that helps balance the bile or the other alkaline components of enzymes and other digestive things in your stomach. So does it help? Yes, it does help some people, and it can actually make other people feel worse because acid can still make reflux feel worse, as can spicy foods. So what I basically tell people is, if you feel acid reflux and you want to try something more naturopathic, try it. If it works, that's great, and if it doesn't work, then you need to think about doing something else, a stronger medication, or maybe a reflux corrective procedure. First and foremost, though, I think the most important thing is don't eat within 3 to 4 hours of bedtime. That's the worst time to be eating because what's in your stomach ends up in your chest. And another is eat smaller meals. I always tell people don't eat a meal larger than the size of the fist that you can make because your stomach is really designed only to hold a small amount of food at a time. And unfortunately, we live in the land of plenty, and so we eat a lot more than we really should, and that also helps promote the development of reflux.
Ooh, that's such great advice. Do probiotics have any effect on reflux?
Probiotics have not been demonstrated to have any effect, any salient effect in improving reflux or preventing it. But it's great for your small bowel.
It is. It's great.
Yeah, alcohol is one of those things. So if we talk about things that can make reflux worse, we know that there are some things that make the sphincter pressure lower. It causes it to relax. And unfortunately, they're the things a lot of us like. Tobacco, alcohol, chocolate, all of these things, caffeine especially, cause relaxations of that sphincter and then therefore predispose you to having more reflux. And those are some of the things we ask people. Please don't do this very regularly. You know, if you want to have a single cup of coffee, fine, have a single cup of coffee. You want to have a glass of wine every couple of days, fine, have a glass of wine every couple of days, but don't make it a daily thing.
Well, that's really the best crux of the advice and such good information. Listeners, if you missed any of that great information Dr. Noor was giving out about GERD today, you can listen anytime, on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio, and we're live every Monday through Friday at 12 Eastern on RadioMD.com, iHeartRadio, or the free TuneIn Radio app. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.